So what I'd like to try to discuss today is a piece that the Ramban has in Parshas Amor, which ties in, as he himself explicitly notes, to two other essays that he has, one that actually came up last week, so it's a good bridge between this week and last week. Regarding the nature of our relationship with Hashem and what we're trying to achieve in the broadest sense of the term in Yadus. This is if it's appreciated, hopefully presented well, we can begin to appreciate a little bit of why Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal said that if we didn't have the Ramban of the Torah, Ala Torah, that it would have been a catastrophe for Klal Yisrael. This constellation of essays, it's really three essays that are one and one that are three, as I'll demonstrate. The Ramban was very aware and very conscious of the connections between the three essays that we'll look at now. These ideas are so fundamental to what it means to be an Eved Hashem, to have any aspiration in Avodas Hashem, that it's truly hard for me to imagine what Yahadus, what the face of Yahadus would look like without this idea, what it would mean for the quality of our Yiddishkeit, in the literal sense of that term. I think the spiritual quality of our lives would be so badly compromised that, the Hakara Satov that we have to the Ramban hopefully will be increased over the course of the next 50 minutes or so. The Torah tells us, in the heart of the section of the Mo'adim of Kedushas Hazman, which is Perek Chav Gimel of Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Emor, Vayidibar Ne'am Moshe Limor, Dabir Al B'nei Yisrael Limor, B'chodesh HaShvi, B'echad L'chodesh, Yelachem Shabbason. Pasuk says that Rosh Hashanah, the day that we call Rosh Hashanah, the first day of the seventh month, is described as a Shabbason, Zichron Trua Mikra Kodesh. The term Zichron Trua is such an ambiguous term, we're not going to discuss that at all today, except to say that very famously, the Yerushalmi explains that this is when you have Rosh Hashanah, Shechalios, B'Shabbos, you don't have the actual Trua, you don't have a Yom Trua, but all you have is like the recollection of a Trua, a Zichron Trua, right? We don't blow the shofar, implying that what we call a Dinder Rabbanan of the Gzera Deraba, that we're not supposed to take the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, because Shema Yavi Renu Arba Amos, Brishos HaRabim, is in fact maybe even a Din D'Oraisa, according to the Yerushalmi. Maybe we'll have the time to come back to that. It's a topic in its own right. Kol melechas avoda lo sasu v'hikravtem ishel Adonai. Okay, so we have the day that we call Rosh Hashanah, that the Torah calls Zichron Trua, subsequently in Parshas Pinchas, as a Yom Trua, and the Torah is describing it as Shabbason. So the Ramban writes, what does that mean exactly, that it's a day of Shabbason? What's that supposed to indicate for us? What does that tell us about the nature of Kedushas Hazman, about Yontif more generally? And as we'll see, the Ramban's not shy about it, about Shabbos as well. Yelacham Shabbason, the Ramban writes the following, Shia Yom Shavisa Lanuach Bo, a day of rest. Shabbason Aseihu, that it's a mitzvah min haTorah. It's one of the 248 positive commandments, one of the overall 613. Shabbason. Vinei osa malacha b'yantif over belav v'asei. And so a person who would do malacha on yantif is not only in violation of the lav of kol melecha savoda lo sasu, which applies on Rosh Hashanah, and it applies at a more severe level on Yom Kippur, where it's actually nisr kares, and it applies on Pesach, and it applies on Shavuos, and it applies on Sukkos. Okay, so you haven't only violated a lav, but you've actually undermined the mitzvah sasei, that there's a mitzvah min haTorah that I'm supposed to rest, called Shabbason. V'ashoves bo mekayim asei. Okay, so that would be not that exciting, that it adds, to the charge sheet. So you could be charged with, multiple violations on a d'oraisa level, one of them a los asei, one of them failure to comply with an asei. That would not be particularly dramatic. V'aldatam hamoados kulam hukshu zelazeh, that this isn't somehow unique to Rosh Hashanah, though it is interesting that it first comes up there, ki lo nemar shabbason b'chag ha-matzos v'lo be'atzeres, but that we could export this out. And by the way, the Rambam does. If you look in the Rambam's enumeration of the mitzvos, the Rambam says that there's a mitzvah of Shabbason that applies part of the Minyan HaMitzvah separately on each and every holiday, even though the term Shabbason doesn't express itself in the Torah explicitly in the context of every holiday. But now the Ramban begins. Uva Mechilta, the Medrash Halacha, in Parshas Bo, Ra'isi, with Parshas HaChodesh, Ushmartim es hayom hazeh, lama ne'mar, velo kvar ne'mar, kol malacha lo yi'aseh vahem. It seems redundant. If you can't do malacha, obviously, there has to be some shmiras hayom. So, ein li'al advarim shehin mishum malacha, then the Mechilta goes on, but that would only cover things that are Torah-level violations. Dvarim shehen mishum shavus minayin. What a strange formulation. But how do I know that I can't do things that aren't explicitly mentioned in the Torah? Tamad lomar ushmartim es hayom hazeh lahavi dvarim shehen mishum shavus. So you have an absolutely enigmatic medrash halacha, as Ramban is trying to express it, which says that the Torah tells me that I can't do malacha on Shabbos or the holidays. Good, right? Kol malacha savoda lo sasu. So what then is the meaning of Ushmartim es hayom hazeh? That means that I can't do things that are rabbinically prohibited. Now, of course, you have a paradox that makes no sense, because if it's only a rabbinic prohibition, how could it be rooted in a pasuk, in the Chumash? Obviously, that's Omer Darshedi. That would be a logical impossibility. Dvarim shehin mishum shvus. If it's only rabbinic, how could it be included in a pasuk in the Torah? Then the Mechilta goes on, Yachol af cholo shel moed. Would this be applicable not only to Yantiv itself, but to Chol HaMoed, Ye Aser Mishum Shavus, V'adin Nosein Tamad Lomer Bayom HaRishon Shabbason? It only applies on Yantiv itself, not on Chol HaMoed. There's a massive dispute amongst the Rishonim whether one is prohibited by Torah law or by rabbinic law from doing certain kinds of malachos of Chol HaMoed. There's actually 25 different opinions that are cited by the Chavetz Chaim and the Be'er Halacha. It's 12 against 13. I can't remember which direction it is, whether it's a Din D'Oraisa or Din D'Rabbanan, but be that as it may, it wouldn't encompass things that are technically only Mishum Shavus. Okay? So that's the Gzeres HaKasa by Yom HaRishon Shabbos. So the Ramban, now editorializing on this Mechilta, says the following. I don't really understand. V'nei Yidrashu Shabbason Lishbos Bo Lagamre Afilu Midvarim She'enan Me'avos Malachos V'Toldoseyan. Avalonis barley, it's not clear to me. Shim tomar shu asmachta, if you'll tell me that this is just sort of an asmachta, very often the Talmud or the Midrash Halachai will cite psukim that aren't really meant to be dinim d'oraisa, they're only dinim d'rabbanan. It doesn't seem to fit into that paradigm. Matam sheyomer b'lashon hazeh, ki shvus b'lashonam namar la'olam al shal divrehem. Anytime we find a shvus in Talmudic literature, in rabbinic literature, it's always an indication that it's really only a din d'rabbanan. So very often the Gemara will say, you know, how do I know, you know, X or Y is prohibited, and it's clearly talking about a rabbinic prohibition, but we're looking to find a pasuk in the Torah that's merames to it somehow, that's a hint. That's what we call an asmachta, but that doesn't fit in to this formulation that we have in the Mechilta. The Mechilta seems to be seriously projecting this idea that rabbinic violations of yantif, things that are not, you know, prohibited from the Torah, let's say riding a horse or something like that, which would be a rabbinic prohibition, or going swimming or something like that, a rabbinic prohibition, that somehow this has a Torah-level impact. It's an internal contradiction. How could somebody, just 1 second, Joseph, let's get to the end of this point, then we'll pause, take some questions. How could that be? Right, the Gemara, when it gives an asmachta, doesn't sort of give away the store and say, oh, by the way, this is just an asmachta. Lo shiyom mudavers ashum bidirei sofrin minayin min haTorah. Avol hayal olomar dvarim shena melacha minayin tamalomar shabbason. So the Ramban says this is an anomaly. It's a rule breaker. It doesn't seem like it fits into the general paradigm of projecting something as a din Torah when it's only really an asmachta. It's only a din derabbanan. Vinira, thus the Ramban concludes, Ramban came to a magnificent, groundbreaking conclusion. He says, when it said Yelachem Shabbason, what the Torah was actually saying was that the scope of the aseh was far more capacious than the scope of the los aseh. Los aseh says, I can't do certain malachos, It's like there are 39 melachos I can't do on Shabbos, and many of those apply on Yantif. That's the los ase. The ase of Yelacham Shabbason means that even if I do many things that don't fall under the scope of the Isser Melacha, things that might only be rabbinically prohibited, I've still failed to comply with the mitzvah de oraisa of Shabbason. The mitzvah ase is what injects the character or the spirit of the day of Yantif. That's the meaning of Shabbason. It's not to add a charge to the charge sheet. No, that's not the idea. It's not just that any time I do a malacha, I violate a lav and an asay. There are many times that will have nothing to do with a lav whatsoever. It's at most a dinder abanan, and yet you've totally undermined the mitzvah asay of Shabbason. Now, the Ramban goes on to explain, and then I'll come back to Joseph. But just to the Ramban writes in such beautiful language, detailing what he means. Lo sheyitrach kol yom limdod ha-tvuos, right, to measure your tvuah, no iser daraisa would ever occur. Velishkol haperos, to weigh out fruits, amatchos, umalali, chavios, yayin, ulefanos hakelim, vegam, avanim, ibayas, lamayas, makom, lamakom. Im haisa ir mukefes choma, right, basically the way that we would call it, if there was an eruv, udlatos, neulos, balaila, ya omsim alachamurim, you could transport things without any malacha daraisa at all. Vaf yayin, vanavim, uteinim, vechol masa, yavio, biyantif. Let's remember that there's no Isser Daraisa doing business on Shabbos or Yantif. Right? So you could do whatever you wanted, basically, as long as you didn't start writing things down. Okay, quoting and paraphrasing from the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. And people will be exchanging coins. I haven't seen an Isser Daraisa yet, and yet it feels like any random Tuesday or Wednesday.
The
Ramban gives himself a little bit of a pat on the back there at the end. He says, this is really correct. That what the mitzvah saseh of Shabbason means is that there's a spirit to the day. And things that denigrate the quality of Shabbos, and to some extent, it's going to be in the eyes of the beholder, and there are many, many disputes what constitutes Zilzul Shabbos, what doesn't constitute Zilzul Shabbos, what constitutes Zilzul Yantif, what doesn't constitute Zilzul Yantif, and reasonable people can disagree about the details, but the concept is what really matters right now. The Ramban is telling us that Shabbos and Yantif are meant to have a certain spirit to them, and that is injected, not at a rabbinic level, that is injected at a Torah level, the mitzvahs asay of Shabbason, which comes from this context of Rosh Hashanah, but is exported out to all of the Yamim Tovim from there, and even to Shabbos itself. The mitzvahs asay far, far, far exceeds anything that would be a violation of Kom Lecha Savod Delo Sasu. That's the idea of the Ramban, and we're going to see how powerful that idea is. It means that the Torah is deeply invested, and we're mitzuvin to have a special day, a day which is distinctive in terms of our activities, that is not meant to be anything like the regular days of Chol. Joseph, go ahead.
Without taking away from the Ramban's answer, which is really elegant, I don't necessarily see the contradiction. Why can't the Torah be saying there will be rabbinical laws that will be promulgated by the rabbis, and those laws will have technical impacts of the derisa, as far as suffering, for example. We treat laws differently. So the Torah is telling us that these particular rabbinical laws have the derisa halachic elements to them.
Yeah. Right.
I don't necessarily see that there's a direct contradiction.
Yeah, it's more of a textual problem than a conceptual problem. Conceptually, obviously, there's nothing at all objectionable about what you're saying, and what you're saying fits largely into the Rambam's concept of losas, or interestingly, the Ramban disagrees with that, but what you just laid out conceptually is what the Rambam says about losas, or that every din derabanan ultimately is protected by a din d'oraisa. That conceptually is not at all objectionable. It doesn't really fit into the language. That's what the Ramban was observing, that the language really makes it sound like dvarim shein mishum shavus actually are under this clause of Ushmartim Esayom Hazeh. It doesn't sound like it's a normal asmachta, which I think, textually speaking, is very much the case. So, Mikol, yeah, Professor.
I just wanted to do an analogy to what the Rambam says in Hilchot Avel.
Hasadim, where he said that the mitzvah should be Bichol all the Rabbanon, but they somehow...
Bichlal, v'haftal reyachakam. Another great example. Totally agree. Okay, so right here after the ellipses, Mikol Makom, Banshee Perisha Braisa Rishona Kemosha Marnu, Oshin Kulanas Machto, so will Perisha Bason Kahu, Shetialano Menucha Mina Tareach, the Amal Kemosha Biarnu, the Union Hagun Vitov Maod, Vine Husru Am Lachos, Beshabis, Bilav, the Onesh Kares, Umisa, the Tarachim, the Amal Baase. So things that undermine the quality of the day, that amorphous quality that we associate with Shabbos and Yontif, these the Torah chose to address, not with the lo saseh, but the Torah chose to address with the mitzvah saseh, called Shabbason, that it's supposed to inject a special ambiance, a special religious experience, if you will, to Shabbos and Yontif. Okay? V'amal ba'aseh v'yontif ha'malacha b'la v'atarech ba'aseh menu amar ha'navi me'asoz d'rechecha mimtso cheftecha v'daber davar. That's what Yeshayahu Anavi was addressing when he spoke about the idea of Shabbos and Yantif being an island in time meant to be held apart and distinct from all of the Yemeichel. Okay, good. So that's the Ramban's contribution here. And we'll come to appreciate that this was not an isolated thought, beautiful as it was. I would have been very satisfied and proud of myself if had I been able to come up with this, and I would have called it a day. But for the Ramban, he's really just getting started, as we're about to see. So let's go back, you know, to Shabbos of last week. Okay, so, you know, there's this big question in Halacha, until when can you make Havdalah? But you can probably still make Havdalah until Shkia tonight. So it's still connected a little bit to last Shabbos. So maybe it's in order to take a look at the Ramban's very famous essay about Kedoshim Tiyu, especially because the Ramban explicitly links this essay here in Emor to the essay in Kedoshim Tiyu. He had a master plan. So the Ramban writes the following. Kedoshim Tiyu, he cites Rashi, Havu Prushim min arayos min avera shekol makom shatamotze gedur erva tamotze kedusha lashon Rashi. Rashi says Kedoshim Tiyu means to abide by the Torah's moral code. If you violate the Torah's moral code, you won't have a life of sanctity. Aval, the Ramban says, you know, thank you very much to Rashi, but if you go back to the primary sources, if you go back to the Medrash Halacha, what you see is that that's not what actually is written there. It doesn't say to abstain from violations. On the contrary, it says to abstain from things that aren't necessarily violations of the Torah. That will ring a bell in terms of what we just said regarding Yontif and Shabbos. Oh, but Torah's Kohanim Ra'isi Stam, Prushim Tiyu, V'chein Shanu Sham, V'iskadishta V'yisem Kedoshim, Ki Kadosh Ani, Kishem Shani Kadosh, Kach Atem Tiyu Kedoshim, Kishem Shani Parash, Kach Atem Tiyu Prushim. God says, somehow, Kaviyachol, God is separate, so we should be separated, God is sacred, we should be sanctified. L'fi Dati, and Aprisha says, Olifrosh Min Arayos, Kedevei Rav. I disagree with Rashi. I think Rashi erred in his interpretation of this Medrash. Aval Aprishos Hiya Muskeres B'chol Makom B'Talmud. When we talk about somebody as a parosh, we don't mean that they don't eat things that aren't kosher, that they don't involve themselves in bios asuros and other clear violations of the Torah. Parosh means somebody who refrains even from things that are technically speaking permissible. Aval precious yambus keres b'chol makom b'talmud shebala nikraim prushin ve'ainin ki haTorah hishira b'arayos uva ma'achalim ha'asurim ve'atira habia ish b'ishto. So the Torah legislated. We know the Torah legislated in terms of what we consume, how we interact with the carnal world in other ways. Im kein yimatzei bal hataiva. So a person who is undisciplined. Makom li oshatov bezimas ishto onashav harabos. Remember, at the level of Torah law, a king was, you know, very limited. You know, you can imagine the difficulties. The king only can have 18 wives, but everybody else, you know, can have even more. So, you know, without violating any of the Torah level prohibitions, a person could live a totally debased life, the Ramban is saying. Vilios besove yayin bezole basar lamo, because, you know, the Torah says, yeah, you can't have yayin esach, there has to be some hashgach on the yayin, but a person can involve themselves in a way that is totally undisciplined when it comes to his interactions with the carnal world. And without violating any of the strictures of Lashon Hara, or motzi shemra or rechilas without violating any actual isurei Torah. As far as speech is concerned, a person could, you know, prattle away the entire day speaking nonsense without, again, you know, if you, you know, subjected that person, give a transcript of the person's, you know, 25,000 words that they spoke over the course of the entire day, you wouldn't find a single violation of any Isser Torah, right? You could have, you know, a group of like 70 rabbis review like the transcript. Hey, no charges of Lashon Hara here, no Motzi Shemra here, no Rechilos here. Nonsense, all of it, from beginning to end, you know? So the Ramban says, all of these things are possible. Vineiya naval b'shus ha-Torah. And thus, the Ramban says, a person's life wouldn't be described as a life of Kedusha, but Rashi says, all I have to do to achieve Kedusha is to refrain from violating the Torah. A person lives the life of a total boor within the boundaries of Torah. Lefikach ba'kasav acharei shapirei ta'isurim, after it specified many violations of the Torah, she'asar sam legamrei, v'tziva b'davar koli shina prushim min hamutaros, Yimayit, etc. B'mishkal, v'kadesh atzim min ayayin, b'miyuto, k'mo shekara, kasav, anazir kadosh, v'yizkor haros, aniskaris mena b'torah, b'noach uvelod. So the Ramban says, and that's why we have this arch principle, after delineating and enumerating many specific violations, the Torah, and here you'll note, in the affirmative language, kedoshim to you, gives us a directive. And that directive has absolutely nothing to do with avoiding Isurim. You do not get the Kedoshim Tiyu award for observing at a basic rudimentary level the laws of Kashrus or the laws of Lashon Hara, as challenging as that is, or whatever laws govern moral and familial ethos of the Torah. That's not where the Kedoshim Tiyu, you know, battle is waged. The Kedoshim Tiyu battle is waged way above that plane, the Ramban is suggesting. And if you're already noticing, you know, the motif here, you don't have to, you know, sort of wonder about it. The Ramban himself, if you take a look towards the end, you know, of this piece, the Ramban talks about, you know, how a person, like Rabbi Chiya, the Gemara says, that it wasn't that he didn't speak Lashon Hara, he didn't speak Rechilos, he didn't violate Motzi Shemra. Shlosach Sicha Betela Miyamav, five lines up from the bottom, that when he spoke, it was because he had something important to say. That's where Kedusha is to be found. That his presence in the world, his engagement with the world, was refracted through the lens of making some meaningful spiritual contribution, and he wasn't interested in prattling away. That's what we mean when we talk about having kedushas hadibor, sanctity that's affiliated with speech. And interestingly enough, the Ramban connects this to personal hygiene. The Ramban says, you're not going to find any specific violation of the Torah if a person doesn't present themselves nicely and a person doesn't take care of themselves from the standpoint of hygiene. But he believes that kedoshim tiyu extends to that area as well, that that's part of having a sanctified lifestyle in this world. Okay. A third Ramban, as I said, it's part of a triad, you should try to appreciate, comes up much later in the Torah. It won't be there for a number of months, right? So a lot of it is at this time of year, Emor and Kedoshim, as we demonstrated. But a third Ramban, and then we'll try to appreciate how the Ramban was explicitly aware and wrote about the connection between the three. So the Torah tells us in the sixth chapter of Sefer Devarim something which is a little bit hard to understand, to pin down. You have it here in the fourth source. V'asisa yasher v'atov b'nei Hashem l'man yitavlach uvasa v'yarashtes aret ha-tova asher nishba Hashem lavosacha. We're supposed to do that which is yashar v'tov. We're supposed to do that which is yashar is typically, yashrus is typically associated with honesty, with integrity, and tov means good. So you're supposed to do the right thing, you're supposed to do the good thing in the eyes of Hashem. It's obviously difficult for us to know exactly. An honest person knows that sometimes it's hard to know what Hashem would want us to do, but we try our best. V'asisa yashar v'atov b'enei Hashem. The Ramban writes, fifth source, L'arboseinu b'zeh medrash yafeh, Amruzo Pshara Velifnim Mishura Sadin. that this is the Torah's way, again, somewhat ironically, of saying that we should make compromises instead of being highly litigious, halavai. Okay? V'lifnim b'shuras adin. And ironically here, that the Torah is telling us we should go beyond the laws of the Torah. A great conundrum, not unlike the one that we talked about before. V'akavana b'zeh, kimitzchila amar, if you look in Sefer Dvarim, shetishmar chukosav ve'edosav, that there are many halachos, there are many mitzvos of the Torah that we're commanded to keep. Asher tzivach, v'ata yomar gam b'asher lo tzivcha, and even if there isn't an explicit commandment, tein datcha, I love this expression, so think deeply, tein datcha, lasos hatov v'hayashar be'enav. Think deeply about what the right thing to do is. Even if it's not an explicit commandment to the Torah, it doesn't mean that it's a morally neutral zone. You should think very, very carefully about what God would want you to do in any particular situation. Now, let me just pause here for a second to say that I acknowledge the great difficulty and the great burden that this imposes on human beings, but it's a sign of Hashem's confidence in us that we are thinking people and that we can think things through and make good choices. Doesn't mean that we'll always know, certainly not the time, and maybe even afterwards. There's a Gemara that I love very much, which is the Gemara which tells the deathbed scene of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. It's a Gemara in Brachos and Daf Kav Ches Amud Beis, which says that when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was dying, his Talmidim came to see him one last time, Nichnasu Talmidim Levakro, and they saw that he was crying. He was weeping. And they said, in this very, very beautiful line, Ner Yisrael Patish HaChazak Amud HaYamini Mipnei Ma'ata Bocha. They referred to him as the light of Israel, as the great hammer, the strong hammer, the pillar of Israel. You know, if you're crying, if you can't feel confident, you know, in your life, like, where does that leave the rest of us? And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai very honestly says that he's not sure how to evaluate his hanhaga, his leadership of Klal Yisrael, because, you know, he says, Hayu lefanai shtei drachim, there are two paths that are in front of me right now, and I don't know which one they're taking me down, you know, in terms of the famous Gemara in Gittin, that when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had the opportunity, he said, namely Yavne v'chachameha, and Asvasa the Reb Tzadok, he wanted a doctor for Reb Tzadok, and Shushilasa the Reb Gamliel, to preserve the Davidic line, that one day there should be Bias HaMashiach, but that it wasn't going to be helpful to save the Beis HaMikdash right now, because the Jewish people were so spiritually desiccated that it would just enable this pathology to continue. And no less than Rabbi Akiva thought that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had made a terrible mistake. Okay, I think history voted in favor of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai over Rabbi Akiva and Bar Kokhba. It's a story for a different time. The point that I'm trying to highlight is that, you know, self-doubt is a part of life. It's not a sign of religious weakness. It's if Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai could doubt himself, we can all doubt ourselves, and there's nothing wrong with that. All of that being said, the Ramban is telling us that the Torah, when it says Vasisa Yasher V'atov, means Tein Datcha, that we have to think very carefully about our choices, even if it's not, you know, explicit in the Torah, and you can't simply say, well, the Torah doesn't say that I can do this, so Mimela, I can do it, and I should do it, and do whatever I want. That is, for the Ramban, total anathema. Tein datcha laso satov yashar beinav, ki hu, because God is ohev hatov yashar. Then the Ramban writes, and like in each word here is such a gem, ve'zeh inyan gadol, and this is an enormous matter. Levishi yafshar lahazkir b'Torah, it would be an impossibility. It's hard to impose logically or philosophically impossibilities on God. God wrote the Torah, so anything is impossible. But the Ramban, somewhat an audacious comment here, says, you know, it would be impossible for the Torah to really, you know, encompass every possible scenario of human interaction. In Choshen Mishpat, in dealings, okay, im shcheina v'reya, v'chol maso matano v'tikune ayisha v'amedinos, and also in social structures and in macroeconomic structures. The Torah can't address everything explicitly. Aval acharei shehizkir me'em harbe, but the Torah certainly addressed many of them. Kigon lo seleich rachil, lo tikon v'lo sitar, lo samad ol dam reyachol, lo sekal ol cheresh. Interesting, he's returning here to Parshas Kedoshim. I don't think it's an accident. All of the ones that he just enumerated are found in Vayikra Yates. And even beyond these specific areas, one should do the right thing. Ad shikanes hapshara lifnei mishura sadenu chagon mashiyiskiru bedina de bar mitzra. This is a famous gemara in Bava Metzia, which says that if I'm unloading some property, the first thing I should do is offer it to the guy who is the, you know, the neighbor in one direction or the other, because it's going to be, especially in agricultural society, you know, much more valuable for him, right? Like, let's say you're thinking about things as a farmer, right? A person has a piece of property, so they have certain fixed costs, right? They have certain overhead. They have to pay for a plow, and they have to pay for workers, or whatever it is. So if I have, I don't know, if I've got some kind of, a property here in Teaneck, and my, you know, next farm is over in Ridgewood, so I'm going to have two different staffs and two different sets of technology. There's a lot of fixed costs. It's not going to be so profitable. But if I can get the property next door, right? Now it's just pure profit, right? My overhead doesn't go up. So for him, it's worth a lot more. Or even today, you know, not in agricultural society, right? If I can move my daughter next door and get the grandkids, you know, every Monday and Thursday, I'm doing pretty well. So, you know, that's the idea of Dina de Bar Mitzra. It doesn't mean that I have to lose my shirt, but I should give them the right of first refusal if they're willing, you know, to pay market value. So then that is, you know, within the geder of Yasisa, Hayashar Beto. But it goes far beyond that. That became a famous application. Rafilu Masha Amru, we'll get back to this Gemara in a second. Pirko Na'a v'dibur b'nachasim abrios achi kari b'chol inyan tam v'yashar. And it even relates, the Ramban says, to the way that we interact, the way that we speak with people. Are we like sort of unpleasant, or are we pleasant socially to deal with? All of these things, the Ramban says, are part of this Yashar v'tov, even though it would be very, very hard to say somebody who was, you know, in the relative sense of the term, terse or somewhat unwelcoming, you probably couldn't, you know, get him on an Isser Derais. Alan, go ahead. Yeah, so I would say, you know, the different kinds of questions when you're giving a shiur, the best kind are those that raise the level of discussion. So that definitely goes into that category. I probably wasn't going to get to that. So very well done. And with your permission, I'll save that for the end, because I think that is in so many ways responsible for why this Ramban remains something of a chiddush, as I'll try to explain. It's a very profound insight on your part. Okay, so in any event, as I've already alluded to, but I kind of held off on doing this so that we could have the experience for ourselves, the Ramban was extremely conscious of the fact that all three of these ideas are the same. Shabbason, where the aseh gives the spirit of Shabbos and Yantif. Kedoshim Tiyu, where the aseh goes far beyond Malchalos Asuros, or Lashon Hara, or Bios Asuros, but it teaches us how to interact in a ritual way in the world, with the physical world, in a dignified manner. And Vasisa Yashar Vato, which goes so far beyond any violations of Choshen Mishpat, that instead of just robbing the guy, okay, so well, I didn't rob the guy, and, you know, I didn't commit any of the violations of Oshek, or Gezel, or Onah, but I'm really trying to do the right thing. Vasisa Yashar Vato, the Ramban was the one to tell us, right? It wasn't our observation. The Ramban was the one to say, yeah, it's all the same idea. I know that I'm saying three things that are really the same. The Ramban writes it explicitly in the essay of Kedoshim Tiyu. So this is the sixth source, but it's really just the last part of the piece in Parshas Kedoshim. So the Ramban says, "V'derecha Torah." This is the way of the Torah. This is a motif, a broader motif. Lifrod v'lechlo. To be specific and then to zoom out. That's what Alana was really talking about, the balance between the prad and the klal. B'chayotzi b'zeh, ki achrei azharas pirtei hadinim b'chol masa umatan. After the Torah has given us many regulations governing business, there are many ways to actually commit isurim in business, with interest or price gouging and the like. Okay, Shebein b'nei Adam lo signo lo sigzo lo sonu, withholding wages and the like. Usharas haros amar bichlal, the Torah went big. V'asisa yasher v'tov she yachnis ba'asei hayosher v'ashvaya v'chol lifnei mishura sadin. Really, you know, a very high level of morality and integrity, even things that are not fundamentally required. The Ritzon Chaverev, Kasher Efarish, Bagilim Komo, as we already saw, Ritzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'chein B'inyin HaShabbos, Asar HaMalachos B'lav, right, there are certain activities which are prohibited as a lav. I can't plow, I can't plant, I can't gather, I can't select, and all these other, you know, formal malachos. V'hatarachim, but things that aren't malachos, but they certainly impact the quality of the day, right? Tarachim, literally burdens, but as the Ramban described before, even things that are not physically burdensome. V'asei klali shenemar tishbos v'odefarisha. So the Ramban right here in Kedoshim is telling you that this is not an isolated thing. This is part of his general understanding of the world of halacha. We often like to put it in a little bit of a pithy expression that halacha is but the floor and not the ceiling. And that's true in all areas. Kedoshim Tior, aspiration towards an interaction with the physical world that's truly dignified in terms of the way that we eat, the way that we have family lives, the way that we speak, the way that we take care of our personal hygiene. That's one major area. A second major area is in business context, Vasisa Yashar V'atov. And then, of course, Shabbason in terms of Kedusha Shazman, that we really work very hard to instill into Shabbos and Yontif far beyond what the minimum requirements are, but we want it to be a day which is uniquely imbued with sanctity. So the Ramban's idea here, writ large, Kedoshim to you, plus V'asisa Yashar V'atov, plus this week's parsha, Yelachem Shabbason, is really nothing short of a revolution, just one second, Joseph, in the way that we should think about Yiddishkeit. Okay, the Ramban, and again, without this, it's just hard for me to imagine what chinuch would mean to me, what I was trying to accomplish with students, within my own family, what the point was. So the Ramban's aspirations are great indeed. And the Ramban thinks that the structure of Avodas Hashem is that God gave us like a certain minimalist template across critical areas and said, you know, these are the absolute fundamentals. And now, tein datcha. Think very carefully about all of your choices. The question is not, may I do this? The question is, should I do this? Is this spiritually constructive? Is this helping me achieve a life of greater yashrus, a life of greater kedusha? And when it comes to Shabbos and Yontif, is it enhancing the kedusha of Shabbos, or is it not enhancing the kedusha of Shabbos? And in some respects, I'll tell you that if activities on Shabbos and Yontif aren't enhancing the kedusha of Shabbos and Yontif, they're actually detracting from it. The Sforno writes, and I'm not suggesting this as a starting point for the community, and the Sforno, I promise you, was a very sophisticated cosmopolitan person. He was held as the greatest rabbinic scholar by all of the Renaissance intellectuals that he interacted with, and he translated his own works into Latin. Nobody's going to accuse him of being, a myopic person. The Sforno writes explicitly in multiple locations that he thinks that the only thing a person should be doing on Shabbos, besides, going to shul and, having the required meals, is learning Torah. Because he says Shabbos isn't only a mitzvah, but the first time that Shabbos is discussed in the Torah, in Parshas B'Shalach, the Torah says, Re'u ki Hashem nasan lachem ha-Shabbos, that God has given you Shabbos. And he says there are two dinim in Shabbos. It's not a Reb Chaim, it's the Sforno. He says one of them is the mitzvah of Shabbos, the other is the matana of Shabbos. Shabbos is a gift. The Sforno, generally speaking, got all of his ideas from the Ramban, this too, I think. And he says, look, so what should you be doing with that matana of Shabbos? You should be maximizing every second of it to further Kedusha. So the goal, they'll forgive me in the presses, is not to look at all the houses in the Jewish link, and to figure out, what it is. It's a Pella to me. I'm sorry. That I think is probably a technical violation. Forgive me. But that is certainly not helpful. That is not a constructive way of enhancing the Kedusha of Shabbos. So he thinks you should restrict your activities to Limud HaTorah, You know, and again, this is not somebody who didn't value secular knowledge. He did, but how is that a way of maximizing the Kiddusha of Shabbos? So the only activities, I would suggest, that a person should really be doing on Shabbos are things, and obviously this looks different if you're 5 years old or if you're 65 years old. I'm not claiming that this would be an appropriate standard for everybody, nor a starting point, but we should be thinking, Tein Datcha, the Ramban said, you should be thinking in a very serious way about the choices that you're making in terms of enhancing Shabbos or Yontif, or just letting it, you know, letting the opportunity slip between your fingers. You know, 24 out of every 168 hours are Shabbos. It's, you know, it's a matana we're meant to maximize. Joseph, it's a good place to pause. Yes.
And I had a question about cooking on Shabbos. I'd call him up and ask him to tell me, and I'd do what he said. This is my rabbi, and he knows the halacha, and I follow him. But if I have a question about spending time, I might ask him his opinion. I might think he's a wise man and has judgment. But I also, well, other people, maybe not me, but other people who are not rabbis are also wise. So is this a case where there's more autonomy in these areas that it's left to Amcha to decide what is Hayosher V'Hatov, even if others who have degrees and ordinations and stuff don't quite agree?
I think it's inescapable that the Ramban's doctrine, as I was alluding to before, both imposes a burden, but also bespeaks a great confidence in people's spiritual intuition. Okay, once you move in any system beyond the realm of black and white, beyond the realm of right and wrong, and you're appealing to judgment, and to some extent, not only to judgment, but to a person's religious experience, I think by definition, you're entering into a subjective realm. So let me give a very important example that I think, you know, really appropriate to the Sforno's comment. Let's say somebody would tell me, which I wouldn't scoff at for a second, that, you know, for them, and I'll try to demonstrate this in just a moment, that for them, there's a great feeling of spirituality that comes, you know, from reading the poetry of Robert Frost, okay? That when they read Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening, they experience religious experience subjectively. They experience a deep sense of the beauty of God's world, but I have miles to go before I sleep and miles to go before I sleep. The kefil halashon and their doreshit, that despite the beauty of God's world, that they, you know, they have moral promises that they have to keep, and it really gets them thinking along those lines. And on Shabbos, they like to, you know, be misboded and to, you know, to meditate on these themes. So I would tell them that they're not mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but to me that would be a perfectly legitimate thing for them to be doing on Shabbos if they really felt that way. So I think it inherently becomes a very personal, it's not just a question of a person's judgment. And what's required, ultimately, the person needs to be honest with themselves. That's why I spent some time before talking about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, how difficult it is to make some of these choices. But again, there's no way of avoiding it. That part of the, and this is what I find so beautiful about this Ramban, is the way that it requires us, Tein Datcha, it requires us to ask serious questions and not to avoid the burden of having to say that, you know what, you know, I'm not violating an Isser Onah, an Isser Gezel, an Isser Oshek, and therefore I'm going to do what is really a ruthless business tactic. It's really ruthless of me, but it's actually not an Isser. So Tein Datcha, yeah, there's a responsibility there too. Yes.
Touched on that it's also Shara, which is something a little bit different of what he's trying to say. My point is, I think in Ayosha Yatov, he's more emphasizing Be'odo L'chavero rather than Be'odo Moko.
He says so explicitly. He says Vayashar Vatov is Hanhagas Ha'adam im Shechena Vireyav. That's not the Ramban says so explicitly, but what's so meaningful about this, right, is that the Ramban says Vasisa Yashar Vatov isn't a standalone. It exists on the same axis as Kedoshim Tiyu, which is almost all Bin Adam L'Makom, and Yelachem Shabbason, which has to do with Kedusha Sazman, and has absolutely nothing to do with Bin Adam L'Chavero. So if for nothing else, it would just demonstrate the internal cohesion of the Ramban's thought, sweeping like a colossus across Bin Adam L'Makom and Bin Adam L'Chavero. It's absolutely breathtaking that he's able to demonstrate that those distinctions are immaterial when it comes to the significance of the concept that he's articulating of using halacha as a minimalist template and then sort of going out from there. So I have two orders of business that I must attend to in just the last few minutes. That we have. The first I planned on. The second is Bischos Alana over here. So what emerges from this? Like I would say, what exactly is the benefit, as it were, of the Ramban's idea? Why do I consider it to be, certainly on the top five, maybe in the top three contributions of the Rishonim to Hashkafas Hayadus? Why is it so important? So I think it actually comes down to something, I guess no great surprise here, that the Ramban himself wrote. Okay? The Ramban, in the essay of Kedoshim Tiyu, says that we should try to understand what the end of that pasuk means. Kedoshim tihiyu ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokecha. So the way that Rashi seems to interpret it on the basis of the Medrash is that you should be holy, for I, God, am holy. Okay, and that it's sort of implied in that maybe this is like a version of halachta bedrachav, that we're supposed to imitate Hashem in general. That was not how the Ramban understood the end of this pasuk. And for all of the attention that the first essay in the Ramban gets, namely Kedoshim Tiyu, and just attention. Just, it's all just to pay attention to that. Sometimes people forget about this line, and I think this line might be as important because I think it explains why the Ramban is so committed to this one idea. Agreed. Ben Adam L'Chavero, Ben Adam L'Makom, Hayashar V'atov, Yelachem Shabbason, Kedoshim Tiyu. So the Ramban writes, what does it mean when it says, Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem L'Kechem, seventh source, Lomar Shanachnu Niske Ledav Kabo Biyosenu Kedoshim, that we will achieve Dveikos with Hashem if we are Kadosh. That something about God's essence indeed is sanctified, and when we behave in this fashion, when we go beyond mere compliance with the absolute bare minimum laws, then we can begin to have what the Ramban calls, in a word, Dveikos. A sense of cleaving to Hashem, a sense of a palpable relationship with Hashem. And small wonder, I don't think it's an accident, nor do I think it's anything metaphysical. The relationship might be somewhat metaphysical. But if a person is literally all day, every day, ben adam l'makom, ben adam l'chavero, Shabbos and Chol, asking themselves, not only what am I allowed to do, but what should I do? And constantly appealing to what would God have me do in this situation, the natural and logical consequence of such a religious bearing is for a person to have a very intensive sense of dveikus. This isn't some metaphysical shivisi Hashem lenegdi summit, but this is a real and concrete expression of a person without any delusion or self-deception, humbly but persistently asking themselves, I have an hour, how should I spend my time? And I have an hour on Shabbos, how should I spend my time? I have an hour on Shabbos Shuva, how should I spend my time? And asking that question fosters a religious experience which isn't different in degree, but in kind. It fosters an intensive relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is, of course, the overarching goal of all of Avodas Hashem. And herein, I believe, lies the answer to Alana's question. When you're going about it the way that the Ramban would have you go about it, even though, again, it's a very hard thing to do, when a person really lives that way and asks themselves all the time, what would God have me do? That basic question, I mean basic not in the sense of a simple question, but the question of halacha per se, of halacha qua halacha, it becomes unfathomable for a person to violate the Ratzon Hashem as explicitly stated. When you're spending all of your time at a secondary, tertiary, quaternary level thinking about, well, you know, I have the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim and the mitzvah of Nichum Avelim, and I can only do one of them. And it's true, the Gemara says that Bikur Cholim is Midin Pikuach Nevesh, but the Rambam says that Nichum Avelim, despite that, should come first. When you ask yourself that level of question, to then go and violate Machalos Asuros, to then go and violate, you know, Chilul Shabbos, is an unfathomable thing. Now, again, in reality, it doesn't play out this way, and I do want to get to that in a second, but for the Ramban, the level of God consciousness, the level of God awareness, the shi'ifa, the striving to live in accordance with God's will at the maximal level, what would God have me do, is an immersive experience, and as such, it's not the klal at the expense of the prat, but it really reinforces each other. If somebody was asking me, you know, to pontificate sociologically on why this Ramban hasn't taken off, I would say you're exactly right. That, you know, for most people, you know, there's a very clear divide. There's some people that are very good with technical micro things, and there's some people who are big idea kind of people. And people in the first category seem to do better with the strictures of halacha per se. People in the second category have a much harder time with that, again, writ large. And so they would, you know, sort of say, well, it's about being a good person. It's about having a sanctified Shabbos. Whether or not I'm flipping on lights is like not so important to Hashem. You know, they would tell themselves those things. And inversely, people who are very technically oriented, you know, would sort of scoff at the idea that that's really just the beginning of a relationship with Hashem. They have certain predilections that would limit them spiritually in that way. So your point is so well taken in general, but I think for the Ramban, there's no like internal contradiction. And I think that is itself a very important point. So just to summarize and distill, the Ramban's perspective in this week's parsha of Yelachem Shabbason wasn't only a charge count. It wasn't only to add a mitzvah saseh to the los saseh of Melacha. What the Ramban saw Shabbason as doing was infusing Shabbos and Yantiv with a distinctive character and spirit that transcended anything that could be encompassed in Kom Leches Avoda Lo Sasu. More importantly, the Ramban says, it's not isolated and it's certainly not an accident. All areas of Avodas Hashem, not only our relationship with Kedushas HaZman, but Kedushas HaAdam, Kedoshim Tiyu, are governed by similar aspirations. The question isn't whether or not I violated an Isser, but whether I lived in such a way that made my relationship with Hashem maximized, a more intensive, more immersive experience. And indeed, this extends Hanhagas Adam im Shechina v'Reyav. Am I conducting myself with other people, not in a way that merely is about avoidance of any technical violations, but really reflects my understanding that they too are created B'Tzelem Elokim, and that technically licit, legal, halachic behaviors that are ruthless or cunning, even if they don't implicate any distinctive iser, are inconsistent with the Hashem's broader rason. V'asisa yasher v'atov b'nei Hashem. These are obviously the major points. As indicated, and as Joseph rightly picked up on, this lends great significance to our own responsibility. Right, the rule book only goes so far. The responsibility that we have to be honest with ourselves in pursuing a life of Kedusha, in accounting v'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nechtavim, not just the things that are explicitly mitzvos or explicitly chalila averos, but dvarim shel rishus, of accounting for ourselves and for our time, imposes a great responsibility on us. It reflects the Ramban's idea that human beings are capable and indeed required to make spiritual choices of great consequence. Nobody can tell Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in the moment whether it was right or wrong that he forewent the opportunity to preserve the Beis HaMikdash. There's no halacha that will govern that pasuk. He, in his towering spiritual stature, intuited what I believe, of course, historically, was the right path, but he never stopped doubting himself. This kind of an approach will always come to a great degree with more questions than there are answers. But if the questions and the headaches are greater, the rewards, I think, are immeasurably and inarticulably greater as well, because to live a life in the divine shadow, to live a life where you have not only the responsibility but the privilege of asking at every fork in the road, what would God have me do, is the life of God awareness. It's the life that I think the Torah would have us live. Thank you very much.